Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day. Happy Grandfather, Great-Great-Grandfather's Day and beyond. Our scripture lesson today is from Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kenan Pickett, and I kind of work on worship and arts here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church, and so I'm delighted to be with you this morning. If you'll remember, last week we celebrated the birthday of the church on Pentecost Sunday, and we kicked off our new sermon, For Better or For Worse. And we began to look at healthy relationships and how Christians define healthy relationships and happily ever after very different. We live into the obedience of the mission that God has called us to in service to the world. Now, Pastor John reminded us that the Holy Spirit was not given by God to complete us. Rather, the Spirit of God sustains us for the ongoing work that God has called us to. Now, when I was invited to give a message today about relationships that inspire us to grow, I immediately began to think about the family and friends that I've shared life with and who have made the most impact on me, and that list includes my best friend, my wife. Rachel, she makes a daily effort to bring out the best in me, and that goes for all of the other members of our family as well. She is selfless. She makes sacrifices so that our first ministry is at home. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for what she does in raising our children. That's the trenches in the battlefield of our faith, and it is our best chance to impact somebody for an eternity. I believe, friends, that it starts with our children. What a blessing to see your family here this morning, Andrew. My list of people who have encouraged and inspired me also has to include my sister, Linda. Linda has weathered the test of time with me as only family can. We've stuck together through thick and thin. We've been there for one another as relationships ended and as we struggled emotionally or financially or even spiritually. We've lifted each other in times of tragedy, like when our mother passed away, and through times of triumph, like on our wedding days and on the days when our children were born. There are four of them between us. And so we're kind of living proof that blood is thicker than water. On my list of people who motivate and stir me in life, I also want you to know that I think about the senior pastor of this church, John McClarty, and how when we met, I was a man who lived on the fringes. I believed in God, but get this right, I was not a follower of Christ. Little could I have imagined early on in our relationship that he and I would go on to plant a church together and then much later down the road be serving here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church together. The list of people who inspire me to grow is a long one. And I want you to know that it includes many of you. What I've experienced in doing life with these three individuals that I have mentioned has revealed some common denominators about healthy relationships and how they can inspire us to become better people. Each one of these people in my life, my wife, my sister, and my pastor, have characteristics that they share which have lifted me up in my own life. The first trait of their inspiration that has helped me to grow is that they are all, each and every one of them, excellent role models. By the way that they have lived out their calling as spouse and sibling and minister, I have been challenged personally to aspire to their success in those roles. Would you pray with me, please? God, I thank you for the role models that we have in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for these three I've mentioned. I pray, God, that the words of this message would be your words and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, there are many role models in our lives. Unfortunately, they don't all have a constructive bearing on us. Let me give you an example. Have you ever seen the movie Fried Green Tomatoes? Fried Green Tomatoes. I like that movie a lot. And one of the main characters in that movie is played by Kathy Bates. Now, she always gets these crazy parts, let me tell you. She is a housewife in this movie who is unhappy with her life. You see, she's been a doormat for most of her life. Her husband, her family, her friends, they all treat her terrible. They just walk all over her. And that all changes the day that she meets this older lady in a home who starts sharing some of these tales about her adventures in life. Now, this lady was exactly the opposite of her character. She was gutsy and bold and daring. All qualities that a doormat would wish to have. Now, here is a look at how this new role model affected her own behavior.
If I can help somebody as I go.
Finally.
As I go.
Thanks. Been out here all day.
If I can show.
I was waiting for that space.
Yeah? Tough. Face it, lady, we're younger and faster.
Tawanda.
Girls, I'm older and I have more insurance.
Oh, yeah. I'm older and have more insurance. I love that line. And you know, by the end of this movie, her whole house is in order, man. Her husband and her friends, they're all shaped up, and everyone shows her respect that she deserves. And we cheer her on. Now, why do you think that is? It is clear that her actions are completely over the top. Furthermore, you might even say unsafe and, well, illegal. And we laugh and we cheer because it feels so good in that moment. When she crashes into that mean girl's car repeatedly. The reality of that situation is that her role model inspired her to stand up for herself. Now, that's a good thing, right? But even at the cost of a blatant path of wreckage behind. And yet we so badly want her to overcome being a pushover and a doormat that we hardly care about how she goes about accomplishing her transformation. In fact, it feeds our flesh that she inflicts pain on those who mistreat her. They do, after all, deserve it, don't they? I mean, she is justified in her hurtful actions based on what she's been dealing with her whole life, right? But is that the example that our faith tells us to follow? How often we become wrongly emboldened and our devices become weapons. I don't just mean car crashes like the ones we just watched either. In fact, much of the damage that I observe nowadays is via email and social media. It is similar to crashing a car because we become emboldened behind the comfort of our device. In a car, we sit behind the steering wheel. But then we get behind our cell phone, our email accounts, our Facebook accounts. We get on Snapchat and Twitter and the Vine. If you don't know what those are, and you have kids, you should. It starts with what we think is a really good line. You know, we want to vent. We want to pound our chest. We want to challenge someone. And just like that, it feels really good in the moment. I mean, our flesh is fed to overflowing. We're even exuberant about it. Then we hit enter or send. And we crash. Boom! Make no mistake, those choices leave real damage in their wake. They come with a price. It can be a fender bender or it can be a total loss. That price can even include death, as in a relationship ends, or in even the most extreme instances, murder with a car or a gun or a cross. You know, the cross, it certainly qualifies as wreckage, doesn't it? Amen. Our liturgist read, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And then in your anger, do not sin." Now, I want you to repeat with me, "In your anger, do not sin." The psalmist said it this way, "Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent." That's in Psalm 4:4, if you're taking notes. "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Now, friends, I believe that is God's way of saying, think about it. Resolve it. Resolve it with God and reconcile it with the offender. That way you can sleep well. You're not likely to cause damage in your relationship when you consider God and what God wants before you speak or take an action, right? That is the benefit of what we call discernment. Let's continue. In the scripture from Ephesians, we read this. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Now, stealing in this sense is about being idle. In other words, quit being lazy and taking the easy way in your relationships and start giving what is yours to give and investing in others. Why does Peter write this to the early church in Ephesus? Well, for the same reason that we need to hear it today. It is easy to grip our steering wheels or to whip out our cell phone and log on to our email accounts and ruin our relationships, but it takes work to invest in others and inspire them and be inspired by them. Our passage also said this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, this is a tough one for me. It's a tough one for us all. It pinpoints the cursing and gossip and name-calling and sarcasm and every type of foul mouth. And what about that line from the movie clip that I love? I'm older and I have more insurance. Does it help others and build them up according to their need? Does it benefit the one who is going to hear it? How much drama and relationship damage could we spare ourselves in this church, in our families, and in our places of work if we'd ask those two questions? Before we ever said another word to anyone or anywhere at any time, I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you and I want you to ask them, does it help others and build them up according to their need? Ask that person next to you. Now turn to the person on the other side of you and say, does it benefit the one who's going to hear it? Now, our scripture also said this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Did you know that you can grieve the Spirit of God? Did you know that? All lewdness and filthiness, lying and corrupt communication that stir up filthy appetites and lust, that grieves the Spirit of God. Corrupt passion of bitterness and wrath and anger and unreasonable demand and evil speaking and malice, that all grieves the Spirit of God. This grieving is not in the sense that God grieves like we do. Rather, it is to not act in ways that are reckless and dangerous to our fellow sisters and brothers. We must not do what is contrary to the very nature and character of the Spirit of God. Amen? You know, you have a promise as a Christian. You are assured redemption from your sin. You will be delivered from the effects of sin and misery in your life. That is what you are to be emulating, a good role model. That is what you are to be sowing into the lives of other people who may not know God. Now, I want you to think about the people in your own life who you consider a role model. Think about that for a second. What do they inspire you to do? How do you behave differently because of their influence on you? And how are you inspiring others as a result of that? Who we choose to emulate, let me tell you, that's important business. That's really important business. In fact, it often drives who we become and what we create in others. So let me tell you, it is worth our careful examination this morning. How often in places where we worship, learn, work, or live, do we see all types of malicious behavior, such as lying or cheating, stealing or backbiting or pride? And all of it is justified by those who believe that if it takes these measures to be successful, then it is completely acceptable. No. Solomon says in Proverbs 16, before every person there lies a wide and pleasant road that they think is right, but it ends in death. Friends, God is truth, and God's ways are unchangeable. Our job is to obey what God teaches us and to remember that how we do things is just as important as what we accomplish. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." That means that how we treat others matters. And friends, we are all the least of these. We are all the least of these. We all come into this church poor in something. You may be poor in money. You may be poor in spirit. God knows I'm poor in patience. Maybe you're poor in behavior, or poor in forgiveness, or poor in tolerance, or poor in self-control. Yes, we are all the least of these. And Jesus so identifies with our suffering. He so identifies with our suffering that he says, whatever you do to help any brother or sister that is poor like that, you do it to me personally. That is the work of the church. That is from the mouth of the one who saves. And oh, what a savior. Whether or not you are a good influence on someone else is directly dependent upon what you sow into their lives. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is echoed in the words of Solomon, who wrote, one person gives freely yet gains even more, another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. What you sow into the life of another human being is related to who you actually are. Now imagine that. And that is why you must choose your role model by their fruit. Do they have love? Do they have joy? Do they have peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness? Are they gentle and do they have self-control? Or are they run amok and just crashing around, running into others and heaping on a pile of wreckage? Are they investing in actual relationships with you and vice versa? Are you able to have difficult conversations with them? Or has the whole relationship been outsourced to a negative action on social media or spelled out in a ranting email? You know good and well that avoiding difficult conversations does not help anyone grow. And neither does establishing wrong role models. If you choose good role models And you remember that Christ sets the perfect example of love for us to emulate, you will exponentially increase your chances of sowing Christ-like behavior into others. If you outsource relationships to your cell phone and computers because you lack confidence, and you do not choose your role models well by their fruit, you will leave a path of relationship wreckage in the same way that we did on Calvary's Hill. Every time we act in a way that is grievous to the Spirit of God, we are embracing the same mindset and the same offensive, insulting, and hurtful, and demeaning action that was taken by none other than the religious leaders whose role models craved power, power, and more power. Every time we lie or we divide others or we go off half-cocked and we invite the forces of evil into our hearts and minds or we destroy others or we steal or we act stingy, we become part of the sin burden that Jesus took on when he hung on the cross and died for us. Every time we let filth and mockery and gossip and discouragement spew, or we incite turbulence, and we hold on to unforgiveness, and we fail to repent, we sow negativity and costly consequences into the lives of others. Just like we did the day that we took an innocent man and hung him on the cross. If you're unsure about the role models in your life, then look no further. This man is the one who is honest to the core. His ability to unite others has led to world transformation, and we're here still in the process of that right now. We're living it out. He was tested in the desert by Satan, and he exercised self-control. Even on the cross, he forgave. He forgave those who put him there. That means us. He guarded his heart, and he knew the scriptures. Let me tell you, he was productive in his healing and in his ministry too. He developed leaders out of a band of nobodies that we're still talking about them today. He is creative. In fact, he created you and this world and this awesome universe that we live in. And he was generous in his appointment of us to manage it. Add the fact that his language was perfectly clean, that his life was perfectly holy, that he was known as the Prince of Peace, and that he gave the ability to you and I to be righteous because he was broken in death. He allows us to be purged and free from our sin, and he's kind, compassionate, and completely forgiving. Yes, it's Jesus. What if we all emulated Jesus? Does Jesus build you up according to your need? Does it benefit you to hear it? I believe it does. And let me tell you, friends, I will spend the rest of my life preaching that. And thank God there are others, perhaps even you, who will as well. Take those three role models that I gave you. My wife, my sister, and my pastor. What is their fruit? Well, for me, for one. And if I'm inspiring them to grow as well, then the reverse is true also. They would be my fruit. Do they have love? Do they have joy? What about peace? What about faithfulness? The answer for these role models is yes, yes, yes. What if we all exuded that for others around us, in our homes, and in our places of work? What if we were gentle and we exercise self-control to the extent that somebody else would actually want to be like us. What if that happened? What if we created such trust in our relationship with others that anyone could have a difficult conversation with us without sacrificing who we are in Christ or who they are in Christ? Our diversity and differences, they give us our best chance for success here. As we learn how to work together, as we become more flexible and understanding, and we discover how our unique personalities and distinct gifts complement each other, that's when we're going to inspire each other to grow. Whether it's marriage or parenting or family or friends or work or coaching or teaching or mentoring, our investment in others can be truly inspirational. But for us to do that effectively, we must establish the right model for healthy relationships that inspire others to grow. And friends, that right model is Jesus Christ. We can breathe new life into a person by giving them hope. We can open a person's eyes by offering our perspective. That is what Rachel and Linda and John and Jesus do for me. We can bring out a person's best by finding the right motivation. We can extend grace to others that we ourselves need. Establishing the right models and then emulating them, that will help us gain the healthiest relationships. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we know, God, that it is true. We know, God, that you put Jesus here, God, to save us, God, to give us a model of perfect love, Lord, to give us a model of the beautiful fruit that you have, God, in this place and in this time. And we ask, God, for your help right now. We ask, God, that you would put into us, Lord, repentant hearts, God, that we would leave here this morning, not just having showed up, but God, that something more strong would happen, that your spirit would move and convict our hearts, God, and that you would purge us, God, of anything that would grieve your spirit. Because it's only by your power that that can happen. And so, God, we ask that. We thank you, God, for the positive role models in our life. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name. And we give you all the glory and honor. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.